A timeless classic comes to life on stage in Reading. Come watch as two California workmen travel along the Sacramento River. The story of gruff yet kind-hearted George and his simple and misunderstood friend Lenny. Starring Russell Payette and Don Tamblyn, along with an all-star cast that is sure to tug at your heartstrings. Riverfront Playhouse is proud to present Of Mice and Men, written by John Steinbeck, directed by John Welsh. Tickets at riverfrontplayhouse.net or at Enjoy the Store in Reading. Showtimes Friday and Saturday, 7:30, Sunday matinees at 2, March 23rd through April 20th.
You know, it can be difficult to find a trustworthy, knowledgeable, and yet affordable auto repair shop. Advanced Automotive is a second-generation, locally-owned, full-service repair shop serving our community since 1993, and one of only four AAA-approved auto repair shops in the Reading area. Advanced Automotive has a goal, and it's to keep it simple to have safe, reliable vehicles for our customers and our community. Call or come by to meet the crew who is here to serve you. 244-4423 at Advanced Automotive.
This is a previous broadcast of Sports Talk with Connor Sutton.
Live from the KCNR studios in downtown Redding, California on Market Street, it's Sports Talk with Connor Sutton. And here is your host, Connor Sutton.
Welcome in, ladies and gentlemen, to another edition of Sports Talk with Connor Sutton. Here on a Wednesday, April 3rd. Gosh, it's already April. Lots of things to get to today. NBA playoff picture is becoming more and more clear. We'll talk about that. I'll give my predictions. Major League Baseball started. Yay. Not that that really matters. Dan Anderson joining us. And Max. Max, how do you pronounce his last name? I forgot to ask you that.
Kiakmadi.
Kiakmadi?
Kiakmadi.
Kiakmadi.
Sure.
That's tough.
Yeah.
Okay. I'll work on it. So first time on the show, Max. Thanks for coming on. Real quick. So Major League Baseball has started, and I've been kind of perusing just different games to see how many people are in the seats. And
I knew this was going to come up when I've been watching a lot of baseball.
The A's this weekend had the Red Sox in town. You were at the game.
I was at the game.
How many seats were filled?
It was
yours and the buddy next to you.
Yeah. Exactly. The problem is a lot of these stadiums, it's very cold.
Was it cold in Oakland?
I mean, it was raining for a couple of innings, and the Warriors were going on at the exact same time.
But what was the temperature?
It was 53.
Oh, sounds pretty reasonable to me, Dan. I think that's just a bad excuse.
The Indians game, like, the Indians are not bringing anybody until mid-May.
Right. But. Okay. Sure. So, Max, I have this theory. Not really a theory, more of a take that baseball continues to be on the decline. It's losing the younger audience because of how slow it is. So Dan and I have a constant debate about this. Dan is for baseball, doesn't think that there's any issues, or not that. No, you just think
I don't think it's as dead as you make it seem out, like you make it seem like it is.
Well, I don't know. It looked pretty dead at the A's game last night.
It was a good game.
Was it?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't watch.
I know you didn't.
New to America.
So how could you know how baseball is doing? You don't watch.
Jared, how did Formula One do this weekend?
It was an exciting race.
Was it packed? A lot of people there?
Oh, a weekend, usually a three-day event, generally draws crowds like
300,000 people. You cannot compare a baseball game where they get 81 of those a year. These Grand Prix, they happen once a year in each country, so it's an event.
Well, it's not quite the same, but there's about 20 races each year.
Yeah, but they're spread out around
the
world.
They're so all in different
like
countries.
The one, it was in Bahrain this week.
Jared just schooled you.
No, we're agreeing, but I'm just saying, like, it happens once in Bahrain. If Bahrain had 20 races a year, it might not be quite the event.
Yeah. I mean, we've seen NASCAR, which was in, like, the mid-2000s, was huge, and then now it's kind of starting to die off a little
bit,
too.
It's declining a little bit, yeah.
So, and same kind of thing. NASCAR, I think, has the same issue that baseball does, where it's so slow. Right, Jared?
I agree. Well, it's not that it's slow. It's just
the same thing over and over.
You know, a lot of people just aren't huge fans of the oval tracks over and over and over again.
Right. Oh, left turn. Do they put their signal on? No.
I don't believe they do.
Oh, okay.
I mean,
I wasn't sure.
It's Bristol this week, so I'll be watching.
Bristol. Okay. There's a couple of tracks that are important, but I'm saying if you can watch the last 30 laps of the. Of the race,
well,
and
we've
be totally
talked,
happy.
We've
with
talked
it.
About this in basketball. Basketball's falling in the same trap. You can buy a league pass for the last 2 minutes of a game now for like $2 or whatever it is because they know people would tune in for the end. So it's not exclusively happening to baseball and exclusively happening to NASCAR.
No, but it's
NASCAR's issue is they let politics seep into it, and when they banned the Confederate flag from it, honestly, that right after that sharp decline, because people, all those people are like, "Don't tell me how to live my life. I'm not going to come support the Coca-Cola 600 anymore because Coke shouldn't be in my business." So that's there's major issues in NASCAR outside than just, oh, they're turning left all the time. If they didn't do that, it wouldn't be quite the steep decline, I don't believe.
So soccer has also just got underway, the MLS. Premier League is, what, down to the last couple of games here?
Down to the last five for most teams, yeah.
And Champions League still coming up. So here's my theory on the whole. Baseball is slowly on the decline. We've been talking about soccer being a sport. It's going to be coming to America and be huge. It's going to be huge. It's going to be huge. And when I think about that, I think, oh, man, I've been hearing that forever. But the MLS started in 1995. That's the same year I was born.
April 6, 1996 was the first game, but it was...
Right. So...
I was there.
Who was it?
It was the San Jose Clash back then. They're now the Earthquakes versus the DC United. Eric Winalda scored 1-0. Was the final score?
Wow. No, I didn't. But that is impressive that you remember that. All right, Max, give me your take. Are you a soccer fan? That's a no.
No.
Yeah, okay, we got it. So here's my theory on this. A lot of people in America haven't really experienced live soccer. They haven't really experienced watching soccer on television. Everybody's watched baseball. Nearly everybody's gone to a baseball game.
Right.
So baseball is more Americanized than soccer. So my argument is, if soccer became more Americanized, as it slowly is becoming, and it really has to do with the World Cup, if America can perform well in the World Cup, people are going to start to get more interested and think, wow, this is actually really entertaining to watch. So I think if that begins to happen more and more, Dan, and it's kind of like almost like brand awareness of soccer, essentially, in America. As that increases, they're going to catch more fans that pique their interest and start to steal away from sports like baseball that are on the decline.
Right, I agree. I think, and I kind of touched on this last week. My main issue, like the biggest red flag to me in baseball is not rating. You can throw all the ratings numbers at me in baseball, but baseball is such a regionalized sport compared to the rest of them. Like if you go to Boston, NESN, the local station that shows all the Red Sox games, people watch those all the time, but obviously nobody's watching that in Atlanta. But the concerning number to me is attendance numbers, which did drop off. And I think because if you take a kid to a game and he can see Max Chapman for the A's or Mookie Betts, whoever the player is, the star player, you take him out to see Mike Trout, you can see him up close and personal. You can sit in the bleachers it's getting more and more expensive, which is the big issue.
Yeah.
You're starting to price out the families of four. You can't take a family of four to a Giants game. Like Oakland, you can because it's a little bit more inexpensive. But
how long the A's are going to be there?
Who
knows?
Exactly. So to me, if I'm baseball, I'm trying to figure out a way to try to keep ticket prices at a lower rate so you can get fans in the stadium. Because once a kid latches onto that player, guess what he's going to want to do later? I'm going to tune in or at least try to follow along. If he has no sort of connection, it's a little bit more difficult. Soccer, what's really helped to catch on the last couple of years here is FIFA. Everybody's playing FIFA and they're playing with Messi. So guess what? They want to try to watch Messi in the weekend on TV because they're like have that connection. Baseball, it's harder to do. And like I said, they're pricing out these families, which is really, to me, the big red flag.
So that's a really good point. I always like talking about business and sports. This is a very good one. Here's a big aspect of this that these teams need to realize as they start to price out these families. Not only are these families not going to be going to the games for one season, it's pretty much forever. You're pretty much losing them as a fan base, at least coming to the game, which is a huge part of their revenue. They're not going to be watched as that begins to happen. They're going to be slowly losing them watching the games on television, slowly stop following the team online, on Twitter, however you want to say it. What that does, the seats get empty. Their sponsorship, partnership dollars go down because there aren't as many people in the seats. So it makes more sense to go the opposite direction, get the seats full, make more money on the partnership side because you have so many people coming and seeing the team. If the place is full, you have way more value there, and you're building more of a fan base that will come back to more games. Because you have a really good experience once, you're going to come back again.
Exactly. I think the thing is, we won't see a major change until the TV contracts come up, because that's where the teams make all their money.
Right.
Is through the TV contracts. And that's why we're seeing $430 million shelled out. Like, we're still seeing players get loads of money, although the attendance is going down. You'd think eventually the owners would start going, wait, we can't afford that. But since the TV deals are still massive, so once the TV contracts come up and Nesson goes to the Red Sox and go, well, the ratings are down, we're not going to give you as much, that's when we're finally going to see it. But unfortunately, the way that it's not just baseball, the owners are this way in all sports. They're in it for to make money, and it's a business, and why not charge $80 for a seat down the third base line, because that's what the going rate
is. They're trying to make money right now instead of thinking about the future, and that's exactly what's going to hurt baseball.
So my thought is baseball isn't quite as dead as you make it seem sometimes, but I do see some red flags that should be concerning if I'm in Major League Baseball.
All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back. We're going to take a look at the NBA standings currently, the playoff picture, and as they stand right now, I'm going to give you who I believe will win their first round and what games. If you take a look at some of the betting odds on that, obviously a couple of them are a little easy. Some of them get a little more difficult. We'll talk about that next on Sports Talk with Connor Sutton.
This Chamber of Commerce Minute is brought to you by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning.
Becoming a member of the Greater Reading Chamber of Commerce is probably the smartest investment a local business can make. It would be impossible for a company on its own to duplicate the benefits of a chamber membership in the areas of legislative advocacy, workforce development, and economic development, not to mention all of the networking opportunities and business seminars offered. Join a committee, become an ambassador, attend a networking event, then watch your investment and business take off. Join today by calling 225-4433 and get connected.
This moment's been brought to you by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, professional cleaning services, 221-5868. Why not get the best?
As gun laws continue to tighten up across the country, Bastiani Arms will continue to provide our community with quality firearms, hard-to-find ammo, off-list fully built AR lower receivers, and the absolute best customer service. Get out of the grab-and-go box stores and come talk to a knowledgeable firearm specialist. The good guys at Bastiani Arms are real gun enthusiasts with two full-time gunsmiths on hand 5 days a week. Right now, Bastiani Arms is stocked up on hard-to-find fine ammo, 30-30, 38 Special, and 44 Magnum. More people than ever are exercising their rights to conceal and carry a firearm. Seth Stoke has over 20 years' experience in firearms and offers CCW classes, women-only CCW classes, and hunter education. Bastiani Arms has everything you need for firearms, and they appreciate you shopping local. Bastiani Arms, on the corner of Larkspur Lane and Wall Street in Reading. Join the revolution.
Hi, this is Chuck Kinney of Shasta Gas Propane. Our company motto is, our customers are warm friends. We are demonstrating our commitment to this motto by helping those in our area that lost their homes in the car fire and are moving onto their property in an RV during the rebuilding process. We can hook up a 120-gallon propane tank to your RV gas system and deliver gas to your property so you won't have to disconnect your 7-gallon cylinder and take it somewhere to get it filled, then reconnect it and relight your pilots. We will deliver and connect the tank at no charge, then discount the price of the propane. Give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793. We want to help you during this stressful time.
This is a previous broadcast of Sports Talk with Connor Sutton.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Segment two here on a Wednesday, Sports Talk with Connor Sutton. All right, it is time for the playoff predictions as they stand now. We'll start in the Eastern Conference. The first round, the number one seed, the Milwaukee Bucks, taking on the Miami Heat. I don't think the Heat have a shot in this series, but Milwaukee's had injury issues. Giannis has played so well, possibly an MVP season. But Miami just doesn't have the weapons to stay with him. I think it's going to be a 4-1 series win for Milwaukee. Remember, Malcolm Brogdon's been out for a couple weeks. They've had a couple of nagging injuries down the stretch. And I don't think people realize how important Malcolm Brogdon is to that team. He's kind of a very, very versatile player. He can score, and he's also an extremely good defender, which that team needs on occasion. So the Bucks 4-1 over Miami. That's given Miami the benefit of the doubt. Giannis had a bad night. We'll give Goran Dragic and Hassan Whiteside one. All right, 2-7. Toronto versus Brooklyn. I think this is a lot more interesting than people realize. I still think Toronto's going to beat them in six. Now, Brooklyn has kind of this group of misfits led by D'Angelo Russell, who's had an unbelievable end of this season. And I really think that although Kawhi has been very good, he's missed so many games, and I worry that if this goes seven, or as the Raptors go later into the playoffs, that might come back to bite them. He's going to have a little more fatigue as he goes to play his consecutive games, 5, 6, 7 in a row. That's going to fatigue Kawhi Leonard. And Kyle Lowry has been pretty much the same player for the last 3 to 4 years. We've seen him peak and plateau, and I'm not sure if he is a better player in the regular season or the playoffs. It appears to be a regular season guy. But the Nets are kind of a wild card. We've seen them play extremely well, and we've seen them struggle at times. They're a very young team, just want their shot, but I think they'll take at least two. Those first two games at home at Barclays could be very, very fun for Brooklyn. All right, the 3-6. Philadelphia 76ers taking on the Detroit Pistons. The Pistons have been revived out of nowhere. Blake Griffin has kind of dragged them back into the playoffs after looking like they might be out. I still don't think they're going to have a shot against Philadelphia. I think Philly's got one of the best starting fives just on paper. The problem is when you put them in matchups, that's where they start to struggle. Everybody wants a touch. That's going to hurt them when it comes down to the last 3 to 4 minutes in a postseason game. So I think the Philadelphia 76ers will win in five against the Detroit Pistons. Now remember, these aren't locked yet. We still have the Magic and the Hornets, who are technically still alive, fight for those 7 and 8 seeds. Even the 6th seed, actually. All right, 4-5, the last one in the Eastern Conference is Celtics versus the Pacers. I think this is a very interesting series. Obviously, the Pacers, Aladipo's out for the year. Shockingly, they've still been really good. They play good defense. The Celtics have been a mess all year long. I think if Aladipo's around and the Pacers have home court advantage, I think this is a lot more, or a lot closer of a series than any of us ever pictured. The Celtics might be one of the most talented teams in the Eastern Conference, but when they play together, they just don't seem to have it. I still think the Celtics get through the first round. I think they win it in five. All right, the Western Conference. Golden State Warriors versus the Oklahoma City Thunder. How did the Thunder drop to the 8th seed? It's been Paul George's injury. The first three quarters of the season, Paul George was an MVP candidate. He gets that hurt shoulder that he says is okay. We don't really know what's going on with it. They've dropped to the 8th seed now. They can still move up to the 7th and play the Nuggets. They're tied with the Spurs right now, technically, but the head-to-head is where they are behind. So that could all change. The Thunder are going to play against the Golden State Warriors, which is a nightmare. Basically, the Spurs and the Thunder are playing to not face the Warriors because the Nuggets are a very, very vulnerable number 2 seed in the Western Conference. And Russell Westbrook is nearing the end of his peak, meaning he's playing so physical for so long that he's going to eventually wear down. He's not going to have that athleticism that makes him so incredible that many more years. We know he can't rely on his shooting a whole lot. That's where he struggles. We've yet to see him have a really, really good postseason without Kevin Durant. So this is a good test for them. But I just don't see him competing with the Golden State Warriors. I think they'll steal one. But the Warriors take series 1-4-1. Denver, San Antonio. Whew. This might be a very, very tough series for Denver. A young team, Jamal Murray, Nikola Jokic. It's kind of their first trial with a target on their back. But the Spurs have played really well down the stretch. LaMarcus Aldridge has been incredible. They have a couple other guys. Greg Popovich just knows how to coach, and that's what worries me. I think Michael Malone is a very good coach. The problem is he hasn't really seen a 7-game series like he might see with the Spurs. So I think it's going to be close. I actually think this is going to go to 7, and I take Denver in 7 just because they have the home court advantage. Those Denver fans, we know how rowdy they can get. All right, 3-6, Houston versus the Clippers. I got to see Houston in person last night in Sacramento. And, wow, they are incredible. When they want to play defense and when they're shooting, they are one of the best teams in the league. Now, when they struggle shooting the basketball, that's when they are vulnerable. And that's what happened in Game 7 against the Warriors last year in the Western Conference Finals. The Clippers, again, a team that doesn't seem all that talented. It looked like they were giving up on the postseason when they traded away Tobias Harris earlier in the season. They got a couple first-rounders back. Somehow, they're a 6 seed. They can even still get to the 5 seed. So I wouldn't count them out, but I just think the Rockets have too much. They're going to probably not use Chris Paul as much as they can to keep him healthy. But my other fear for the Rockets, James Harden has been putting a lot into this season to try and get above 35 points per game. He did it again last night. He's been playing a lot of minutes. I fear that's going to hurt them here in the playoffs. But I still have the Rockets winning round one. I don't think the Clippers are going to take more than a game. So I have 4-1 Houston. Portland and Utah, another interesting series. Utah last year upset Oklahoma City, a team that everyone thought was going to go deep into the playoffs with Paul George. And now the Jazz, kind of a team that we don't really know what they are. We know they're good, but how good are they? We'll see. But I think Portland is a team. Obviously, the Nurkic injury really, really hurts them and probably will hurt their chances in the second round. I just don't think Damian Lillard is going to let this team not go to the playoffs. So I got Portland in 6. So Portland in 6 against Utah. So those are my NBA playoff predictions in the first round. All right, guys, tell me your thoughts. Max, we'll start with you. You're the NBA guy. What do you agree with? What do you disagree with?
I'm going to agree with you in the Eastern Conference. Milwaukee, I think they're too much for Miami. Miami might get a game for Dwayne Wade. It's his last season. He might get a game or two.
Right.
But Milwaukee's too stacked. Toronto, they're facing Brooklyn, and Brooklyn is, they've been kind of crazy all year, and they slipped in that 7th seed, and D'Angelo Russell's putting up some good numbers, but I still think Toronto's going to win in 6. Philly and Detroit, I think Philly's just way too stacked compared to Detroit. I mean, Detroit has the 2 bigs, but Philly, when they match up better.
And we've seen Joel Embiid just dominate against Andre Drummond here in the past couple of seasons.
Right. And Boston and Indiana, that's a really interesting series because Boston, they've been kind of flip-floppy all year, haven't had a good season. Kyrie sounding like he wants to leave, but I think they'll still win in 6. Moving on to the Western Conference, I think Golden State's going to sweep OKC.
You think so?
I think they will. I know Russell Westbrook, he's been putting up all those numbers, but he's just more of a stat sheet stuffer, and I don't think him and Paul George can handle the Warriors. And Boogie, he had a pretty monster game last night, 27-12, I believe, and I think it's just going to be too much for Steven Adams. Denver and San Antonio, I'm going to give it to Denver, and I think it's going to go in 6 games. San Antonio, they've been playing well towards the end of the season, but I don't know. I think Denver is a really underrated team. Michael Malone, I think he's a great coach.
Right. My only issue with the whole Michael Malone thing is that he hasn't really coached in the playoffs yet. So it's a completely different atmosphere. When you play a team 7 straight games, if that, or even 4 straight games, it's a different coaching style, in my opinion, that I don't think sometimes coaches have to adjust to.
And Popovich is the one guy you do not want
right
to have your first shot at.
Yeah, again. Exactly. It's my only thing. Go ahead. Sorry.
Right. I don't know. I still believe that Denver is a better team.
No, absolutely. No, I totally agree with you. I just am concerned for Michael Malone and the Denver Nuggets coaching staff because of how good the Spurs can be.
Right. I think we're going to be surprised, and I think they'll get them in 6.
Yeah. All right.
Houston, L.A., it depends on Houston. If Houston can shoot the ball, then they're going to win 4-1. I think the Clippers are a really great defensive team, and if Houston's not shooting the ball well, then I think that the Clippers can take advantage of that and maybe win 2 or 3 games, but I'm still going to give Houston the benefit of the doubt. They put on a monster game. They had 26 threes against the Kings last night, and when Houston's shooting the ball well,
they're the team to beat. There's not much to do, yeah.
Portland and Utah, I'm going to give it to the Jazz. Portland, they have the Nurkic injury. They have the McCollum injury. He'll be back for the playoffs, but I think that the Jazz, they're always a team that upsets in the playoffs, and I think Portland's going to be the team that gets upset.
Oh, you think Jazz are taking down Portland?
Yes.
All right. Yeah, I didn't take any bold statements here. I just don't think that anybody in the first round is going to be upset. It doesn't happen a whole lot. So, all right, Dan, quickly, what do you
– Yeah, I agree. Eastern Conference, I think, is pretty straightforward. I don't see anything. Although I do think I give the Pacers a chance in that series. The Celtics, to me, they're just such, like you said, they're such a mess.
They're so dysfunctional.
And it seems like they're like, well, we're just going to rely on our talent. Once we get there, our talent's going to pick up. But at some point, it needed to pick up by now. So the Pacers are kind of that team. They're going to go, and nobody expects us to win this. Nobody's expecting us anything of us, especially with Oladipo out. I think that that might be one that could go the other way. And then I honestly really like the Clippers. I think the Clippers could take the Rockets out. They lead the season series 2-0. They're going to play again tonight to see their final game of the year. But I don't know. The Clippers have the same sort of mentality where they're, hey, we've given up on the season. We have nothing to lose. They're playing with house money. And the Rockets are at the stage where they always get to that level and then fall. So at some point mentally, it's going to be in their heads, I think. And the Clippers, like I said, they're just going for it. And this is the first time we've seen the Clippers team in a while that people are kind of like, nobody hates them. They're just kind of like fun, lovable guys out there. I don't know.
Right.
I think
except
I do
Patrick
like
Beverly.
Yeah. So those are the two. I think I really like the Clippers. I think they win this series. I think it's a seven gamer.
And wow.
I think the Pacers are the one. I wouldn't bet on them, but I could see the Pacers usually.
I think it depends on James Harden too, because if he's putting up the same numbers in the playoffs, they're going to win. But last year in the playoffs, he didn't put up quite as good as numbers.
Yeah, he struggled. I think he just got worn out, and I think he was ready for that this year. But at the same time, he's putting up really, really good numbers. We'll take a break. We'll come back. We'll talk about who we think's going to win MVP. And I want to ask you guys, if the Clippers do slide up a spot and take that five spot and play the Trailblazers, do they have a better chance than the Rockets? We'll talk about that next on Sports Talk with Connor Sutton.
Some things in life you can just rely on.
Believe All Ogre Again. DreamWorks Shrek the Musical is live on stage at the Cascade Theater April 5th through the 14th.
And then I saw her face.
The characters you love, the magic you can't resist. Shrek the Musical is hysterically funny. People of all ages will enjoy this show. Shrek the Musical at the Cascade Theater April 5th through the 14th. Tickets on sale now. Call 530-243-8877 or go to cascadetheater.org. Believe it.
The value of banking local comes in being able to walk into the lobby, see the president, and be called by your first name, knowing that lending decisions are made locally by people you call neighbor or serve alongside when supporting a worthy cause. There's confidence in knowing that when you place your trust in Cornerstone Community Bank, you not only help yourself, you support the town you call home. Stop by one of our Reading or Red Bluff branches or visit us online at bankcornerstone.com. Cornerstone Community Bank, we invite you to experience how we are moving local dreams forward.
No one plans to visit the emergency room, but when life's accidents happen, you need to get treated, not seated. Shasta Regional Medical Center is located at 1100 Butte Street in downtown Reading. They have emergency room doctors and staff that guarantee you will be seen by a medical professional within 30 minutes of your arrival. Shasta Regional Medical Center believes in delivering patient-centered health care with compassion and respect for every patient and their family.
Hot Car
and Cool April Night
is back April 20th through the 28th.
Over a week of classic fun.
So dust off your lawn chairs for the big cruise on Friday, April 26th, and get your tickets now for the main event with over 2,000 classic cars on display Saturday, April 27th.
So get your car registered today.
Discount advance tickets are available at all Napa Auto Parts stores. Avoid the lines and buy yours now. Don't miss the 30th annual Cool April Night, April 20th through April 28th.
Oh, baby, Cool April Nights is coming. For more information, go to CoolAprilNights.com. That's CoolAprilNights.com. Cool April Nights is sponsored in part by Wind River Resort and Casino, Visit Reading, Marquis Shasta, Block Beverage, Napa Auto Parts, Action News, Reading McDonald's, and this radio station.
Join us for the 12th annual One Safe Place Walk a Mile in Her Shoes event at California Street Lab on April 13th from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. That's right, Walk a Mile is downtown. Various downtown businesses have collaborated to bring you an event to remember. The walk will be followed with live music, games, art, beverages, and more. All donations will be matched dollar for dollar by the McConnell Foundation Challenge Grant to support One Safe Place youth and children's programs. Don't forget your heels!
A full-service spa is our most amazing amenity at Wind River Resort and Casino that will cleanse away your stress and renew you. Step inside and begin a relaxing journey that will soothe the mind and awaken the spirit at Wind River Spa. Indulge in our beautiful spa overlooking the calming waters of Clear Creek. Let us help you unwind your mind, body, and soul with catered and customized treatments. Our spa is modern, serene, and clean here at Wind River Spa. Our exceptional menu of treatments allows you to select services that will calm the mind, body, and soul. Spend an hour or spend a day with us, offering massage, facials, nail care, and waxing, featuring farmhouse fresh products for skincare and body treatments. We're the only spa in Reading that has a steam sauna for both men and women. Book your appointment today at 530-245-9494. Download the Wind River app. Gift certificates available for purchase. Relaxation is better at the river.
This is a previously broadcast episode of Sports Talk with Connor Sutton.
Welcome back here on KCNR 96.5, 1460 AM. A lot of good stuff happening here. With the, you know, playoff talk, I just think we talked about it last segment. The Clippers and the Spurs to me are the two teams that would be the lower seeds that I think have a shot to upset in the first round out of any teams, because the Spurs, just because of how well they're coached, they've been red hot. I know they're only six; they've won six of the last four, six of the last ten. Before that, they were also had won a lot consecutively. However, the Jazz have won 9 of their last 10. The Clippers have won 8 of their last 10. So the teams in the 5, 6, 7 spots, even Portland and Houston have won 8 of their last 10. So these teams are getting hot at the right time. The problem is when it comes to the playoffs, it has nothing to do with how hot you were. It's not like baseball, who can have the hottest team. Typically in basketball, the best team wins. And it has more to do with matchups than anything. So it's really a matchup thing that we're going to see with the Clippers. And I think maybe even if the Clippers play Portland, Beverly, defensively against Damian Lillard could be very interesting.
I agree. I think the Clipper, like I said last segment, the Clippers are the one lower seed that I could see doing any damage. Let me ask you this, though. Is there anybody who can take the Warriors out?
In the first round?
Anywhere.
Yeah, no, I think they're more vulnerable than they've ever been.
Really?
Yeah.
I still don't see it. Who takes them out?
I have no idea.
But you just think that somebody's...
Do you see? They're having these issues. You can just tell there's dysfunction. A lot of times when you are angry inside or at things you can't really vocalize, you take it out on various things. And I think that's kind of what we've seen happen with the officials this year. Kevin Durant got a T last night. These guys are a ticking time bomb, and they're going to blow eventually at the officials. Draymond's that way. We know DeMarcus Cousins is that way. Kevin Durant has been that way. And I think in one of these playoff series, it's going to happen, and it's going to dramatically affect it, similar to when Draymond was ejected and out for that one game against the Cavs and ended up losing the finals. Who do I think is going to take him out, Dan? I have no idea. The only team that can take him out is the Rockets.
And it's because they're going to beat themselves, what
yes.
makes it sound like.
Right. It's not. I mean, the Rockets are a great team, but they've lost a lot of pieces from last year that I thought were really important. Luka Mbamute was a very important defender. Trevor Ariza, a good defender, outside shooter. And I just don't think they are as deep as they were a year ago. But the Warriors are just still the Warriors. Like, we have no idea what's going to happen. They're going to flip a switch in this first round and probably fly by in the sweep. But I just think that they're more vulnerable than ever. The Rockets have this ability to turn it on. But when they can't shoot very well, that's when their defense becomes a little slower. Their rotations are late. They don't rebound as well. And that really affects them. So if the Warriors get taken out in the Western playoffs, it's going to be by the Rockets. Now, when you talk about the finals, it gets a little more interesting because I think the Bucks are very good. The problem is Giannis has played a lot of minutes this year. The Raptors, we know how bad they've been in the playoffs in the years past. I know they have Kawhi Leonard. Philly's kind of a wild card because they have all these different guys who want the ball late. A lot of mouths to feed, and Boston has been a mayhem. So I just don't see anybody but the Rockets, now that I think about it, and kind of talk myself through it, taken out.
So even the Bucks, you don't?
I don't think the Bucks take them out. They've had injuries. Brogdon's going to barely be coming back, I think, by round two. And I don't see it happening.
I don't know. What do you think? Anybody?
Yeah, I'd have to agree with Connor. Like you said, the Warriors can only beat themselves. Houston is that team that might slip in there and upset them because, look at last year, if they had Chris Paul, I think they would have beat them.
I agree.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I agree with you. Especially at home.
Yeah.
Game 7. That's going to go down as one of the biggest questions in sports. Like, if Chris Paul is back, who wins that series? Yeah, who wins the finals?
Huge what if. To me, it's just a big... It's a huge missed opportunity, and it's hard to come back from when you're that close and you miss. I just don't see. I think mentally it does a lot to a team, especially when because they're going to face them deep in the Western Conference Finals more likely than not. You've already bagged a lot of games. You're playing almost 100 games by that point or getting close to it. And I just think mentally that's going to catch up with you. And the Warriors have we got DeMarcus this one time. He's going to win because this is his chance basically because I think he's going to go for a money grab next year. Maybe not be in the best position to win next season. But I don't see it happening. But, yeah, I do agree with you. If it's going to happen, it's because they're going to beat themselves.
Yeah,
I don't think somebody's going to rise up and surpass them. But
I mean, the problem is their locker room issues. No one really knows about them. They've stopped talking about them because they've said no to the media. The problem is, though, is still happening. There's still tension between these guys. They have all these guys who want to be the figurehead. Kevin Durant wants to be a beloved player. He wants to be the guy, and it's going to be Steph Curry's scene. That's why he's going to New York next year.
But do you think this is exclusive to the Warriors? We saw this with the Lakers. Kobe and Shaq didn't like each other. We just didn't have it. Guys complaining on social media all the time about what's going on.
Right, it's definitely magnified.
It's more of a spotlight on it. I'm not saying there's no issues with them, but I just think that, especially when you have the Currys and Durants of the world who are next level, they can push that aside when push comes to shove. And Durant really is the player who I think makes it all work because he's totally okay facilitating and letting Thompson and letting Curry shoot, and then when he needs to step up and hit a big three, he'll step up and hit a big three. I think that they found a way, and Curry has those guys playing in a way that when push comes to shove, they'll figure it out. I'm not saying that there's no issues at all, but I do think that they figure it out down the stretch.
Yeah, I think the Warriors are going to win, bar an injury maybe. If Steph Curry goes out, he's their leader, then I think they start getting dysfunction, start John back and forth with each other, and if they're in that kind of situation, then I think they're going to beat themselves. But that being said, I think the Warriors are going to win the finals. I believe that they'll put it all together, set all their differences aside, and they'll get it done together.
Here's my thing. We've kind of seen this happen before. We know Kobe and Shaq didn't like each other when they played together, right? They won three rings together. Three? Two.
I think they won three.
Three, yeah. They won three, yes. So in 2004, though, they played the Detroit Pistons. This is a very similar situation. The Pistons had a pretty good team, but they weren't great. And they beat the Lakers, who were a far more talented, better team because, in my opinion, of those issues.
But is there something to – Durant's gone, right?
He's going to New York.
DeMarcus is gone. This is kind of – and who knows where Thompson's going. I think he might stay, but – he very may well leave, so there could be something to this is our last hurrah together. Let's go win it, and then we're all on our own. So I think there is something to that as well. They all know Durant's gone, so
yeah,
there's something to okay. This is our last shot with him. Let's go win it one more time.
I think it's said and done that Durant and Kyrie are going to New York, no matter what happens with the number one pick. Who does it has zero relevance. They're going to New York. Kyrie realizes he can't be the guy. It's not in his DNA. Kevin Durant realizes he wants to be the guy. Perfect scenario for those two guys. They'll instantly be heroes in New York. It just seems like it'll make sense. I've been saying it for, I don't know, 2 months, Dan? I don't know. How long have I been saying it? Quite a while.
I've heard that take a few times, yeah. And yeah. I don't disagree.
Yeah. All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back. Still a lot more stuff to get to. We didn't even talk about the MVP. I mentioned we were supposed to talk about that. We'll get that next on Sports Talk with Connor Sutton.
Alan Gordon, Coachmaster Collision. She had minor damage to her rear bumper. I wrote her an estimate. Later, I received a call. The lady responsible for the damage wanted to pay for the repairs out of pocket. Her insurance agent told her a claim would raise her rates for years. With our experience in the claim process, I explained to her most insurance companies would forgive a claim if the cost was below a minimum amount. I suggested she contact her insurance agent and have them review her policy. She called back very excited. It appeared her policy did extend forgiveness. They would pay for the repairs, and she wouldn't be charged with a claim or have to pay a deductible. The accident would not cost her a thing. She was very pleased. Good thing the vehicle owner came to the right place for repairs. We all pay a lot for insurance. Choosing Coachmaster will ensure you get the most for your money. Let this experience work for you. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
Purpose-driven banking. That's the vision behind the founding of Five Star Bank in 1999. Services inspired by partnership and defined by shared vision and goals. Five Star Bank, a champion of local economic development and community stewardship. Your success is their success. Now that's smart people doing good business. In a world that's both more connected and more isolated by high tech, Five Star Bank brings you a personal touch to small business banking, cash management, and online services. Five Star Bank, consistently rated among the very best by industry associations, rating agencies, and of course, customers and partners just like you. Your partner in success is Five Star Bank. FiveStarBank.com. Visit your local branch at 358 Hartnell in Reading. Progressive, professional, personal. That's Five Star Bank. Equal housing lender, member FDIC.
Join Aaron Ryan and Bill Cundiff for We the People Radio every Sunday from noon until 2. Our interviews on them give you the whole story rather than mainstream media soundbites.
We'll bring you experts on politics, national security, environmental craziness, veterans affairs, Agenda 21, foreign affairs, and everything in between.
Our commercial-free archives are always available at wethepeopleradio.us.
It's the most fun you can have while talking about them.
Join us every Sunday from noon until 2. We the People Radio here at KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM.
Founded in 1995, GI Pathology is the only physician-owned laboratory in the United States dedicated solely to the practice of gastrointestinal and liver pathology. The company provides the highest quality GI pathology diagnosis made exclusively by one of our fellowship-trained gastrointestinal and liver pathologists. GI Pathology delivers results to its Northern California client base within an industry-leading 24 hours. Call 888-2-GI-PATH or go to www.gipath.com for more information.
This is a previously broadcast episode of Sports Talk with Connor Sutton.
Welcome back here, segment 4, Sports Talk with Connor Sutton. All right, real quick, let's talk about who's going to win the MVP. So, there's two.
I think it's two options.
There's only two options. Paul George was the guy for a while. I thought, wow, Paul George is back. He's going to be possibly number one or number two. I think he's almost completely out of the race now, and I don't think he'll even finish in the top four of MVP voting just because of that shoulder injury, and they have dipped all the way down to the eighth seed. Now, here's before I even ask who you guys think it is, how important is where you end up as a team seed-wise in this MVP race?
I think if it's the difference between one and two, not a huge difference if it's 1-8, I think that does play. So to answer your question a little bit, but if you're missing the playoffs, I think how valuable are you really to a team that doesn't make it? But like if Westbrook was in this conversation, I don't think he's the one of the two that we're talking about here.
No, obviously James Harden, Giannis
Antetokounmpo.
Nice, well done.
I think if Harden is in it. That does the fact that they're in the eighth seed right now, that does play into it. But the Bucks right now, one seed, the Rockets, two seed, I think that's basically a wash, especially since the Rockets are in the West.
Yeah, I'd have to agree with them there. If it's the 1-2 seed, there's not much of a difference. But when it's a 1-8 seed, then you have your difference there because you got the guy at the eighth seed putting up all these numbers, but then you got the other guy. He leads his team. He's got them the number one seed. So
best record, I think, in Milwaukee Bucks history. Yeah, I think so. James Harden's 36.4 points per game. I think that's incredible. They were out of the playoff race for the first 20 games, and he literally brought them back. And
yeah, I have some Harden stats here.
Okay, so go for it.
Here's a bunch of stats I read earlier this week. So Harden leads the league by scoring by 8 points. This might be a little bit off. Like I said earlier this week, I saw this. 8.2 points per game, which would be the biggest difference between number one and two since the 1969-1970 season.
Wow.
If you erased all the points he scored in fourth quarters, he would still lead the league in scoring this year.
Wow.
His streak of when he went on his 30-point game streak, he did that 32 games. He took the Rocket from the second-worst team in the West to home court advantage in the first round of the playoffs. He has more games scoring 50 this year than he has scoring less than 25. He averages 42 points a game in games on 0 days rest. And he is second in the league in steals, only 0.2 off the lead. And he leads the league in deflection. So he's not only doing it offensively, he's having an impact defensively.
You know what's ironic is a couple years ago we used to make fun of James Harden for how poorly he played defensively. He would just basically let guys
right,
go by him.
Exactly. That being said, I still would pick Giannis.
Here's the only reason I think Giannis is going to win. I think it's because James Harden won last year. I think there's fatigue in the media with having an MVP. I don't think we're going to see too many back-to-backs anymore unless it's just there's nobody, which kind of what happened with Steph Curry's second year. There wasn't really another guy to pick.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think you hit it right on the nail. The fatigue is real because we had Harden, who did the triple-double a couple years ago. Everybody lost their mind
about
it. Westbrook did it. And then last year he basically did the same thing, and he was like number seven in MVP voting
right,
or something like that. And he's doing it. All he has to do is get three more assists again this season in his last three or four games, and he's going to do it 3 years in a row, and he's not even in the conversation. So it is interesting. It's a lot of story-driven voting, and I think that's why Giannis, like you said, the Bucks' best record in forever, he's really stepped up into this role that we all thought he could get to, and he really did fulfill the promise that everybody said he did. So I think Giannis is going to win because of that.
I'm going to give it to Giannis as well because they have the...
Can you pronounce his last name?
Antetokounmpo.
Oh, nailed it.
Well done. Sorry, go ahead.
I'm going to give it to him. They've improved a ton from last year. They got their best record that they've ever had in a while, or ever. And I'm going to even give Coach Budenholzer.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Coach of the year.
Well, they had Kidd last year, right? I believe. Yeah, it was last year. And then he got fired.
It was like a long time ago.
I remember because I had watched him coach. That's the only reason I can remember. Hey, Jared, can you spell Antetokounmpo? How do you say it, Dan? Say it, Max. You got to say it.
Antetokounmpo.
Antetokounmpo.
I might be able to if you give me like 15 seconds.
No, don't look it up. Don't look it up.
Just go with Greek Freak,
right,
Jared. That's what.
Yeah, that works. Giannis. Just say Giannis. Can you spell Giannis?
Y-A-N-I-S.
No, you were off on the first one.
Is it G?
Oh, it's G, yeah.
Okay, well, I still don't know.
Yeah. Okay, real quick. You guys are both Kings fans. Quick Kings trivia. Who is the highest Sacramento King in the last 24 years in the MVP voting?
My first thought is Mitch Richmond.
No, after Mitch Richmond.
Oh, after Richmond. It's got to be Weber, right?
No.
No.
Is it Williams?
Nope. Jay Will wasn't even on an All-Star team.
You know who was on an All-Star team? Vlade Divac.
All right, Dan. Let's relax.
Current?
No, not current.
I have no idea. It had to be
Weber. Pejo Stojakovic in 2004.
Oh,
Pejo, that's my guy.
How high did he get?
Fourth.
Good for him.
Yeah.
That's crazy. 2004, you said?
Yeah.
Man, I did. Actually, now that you mentioned it, I do feel like
I did that trivia
that.
Last night. Yeah. That's the only reason I know that. All right.
It should have been Weber.
Yeah. I mean, it would make sense. Weber was clearly the X factor. I mean, I think Pejo had an unbelievable shooting year.
Yeah.
So. I do think James Harden should be the MVP. Will he win? I don't know. I think it's going to depend on what the media thinks. I think Giannis will probably win because he's the one seed. But I'll be interested to see, especially down the stretch, there's still a couple games left. You can still sway voters' minds. Quickly, we got a couple minutes left. March Madness, Final Four. We have Texas Tech. I'm trying to think who we have. Virginia. North Carolina's out. Duke's out. Auburn.
And
Michigan State.
Yeah. Jared, who are you taking?
I don't know.
You were 3-for-4 last week, man. Go to the casino.
Three good guesses, I guess. Well, two of the teams were like totally, like the odds were highly in their favor.
Right.
No, Auburn was not.
Auburn was
the opposite direction.
Yeah, I actually went with the opposite direction for the other two because the odds were pretty close, so I went with the underdog.
Fair enough.
I just think it's funny. Last week we discussed which the number one seed was the most roll in the roll. You said Virginia. I said Gonzaga slightly next to Virginia, and the only one left is
Virginia.
Is Virginia.
Yep, we know what we're talking about. All right, real quick.
So take that as we make these picks here.
Right.
You got to give it to Michigan State, right?
Yeah. That's who I think it's going to be. I think they've outplayed pretty much everybody.
He's out coached Coach K.
Hey, but he's yelling. Oh, the yelling.
How dare him.
Unbelievable. Who do you think, Max?
I'm going to give it to Virginia.
Yeah?
Yeah. I think they get it done. They've been getting it done. They're the only one seed left. I think that they'll pull it off.
Yeah, I think kind of everyone's still count. To me, they're this one seed, but nobody really thinks of them as a one seed. Because last year they lost to UMBC. I don't know why that is, but... I'm with you, Dan, on the hill. So Virginia, Kyle Guy, is he your guy?
Yeah.
I think the way Virginia defends always is going to have them in the game. So I think that's one of the things that Virginia has that's kind of rare. They're always going to be close. Their defense is so good. If they have a good shooting night, they can blow you out. But if they're not, they can still be in the game. So I think that'll keep them. I think Virginia-Michigan State would be very entertaining. I don't know, Tony Bennett versus Izzo. It's going to be interesting. Two yellers. Media doesn't like that. Can't yell anymore. Did you know that, Jared? Can't yell. Don't yell at your players.
That's new to me.
Yeah.
All right.
It's a thing. You can't yell at them. You can't berate them, I guess. Quickly, we had a couple minutes left. Major League Baseball, Dan, Red Sox, what's going on?
I mean, we're six games into. I'm not hitting the panic button yet.
I think the season's over for the Giants.
I mean, it's too early for anybody to, like, Bumgarner gave up basically one bad inning and it cost him last night. He was outstanding in his first series, our first start.
Still lost.
They got no run support.
Hit a home run, though. That's always fun. Pitchers hitting home run is, like, one of my favorite things in the world to watch.
That is the debate.
That's a positive.
DeGrom hit a bomb today, too, actually. That's the debate we've always had, the DH. Whether it should come to the National League or not. But I think it's so early that you can't tell. But
no, of course.
There are some concerning signs. If a Red Sox fan, I've been watching them most closely. There are concerning signs with our starting pitching that we haven't been able to handle. But our best start was last night, and Chris Sale went six innings and gave up one run, and we lost 1-0. But
Xander Bogaerts with a nice extension for relatively cheap.
A steal.
Yeah.
He's going to make just over $18 million a year as opposed to the $30 million that Machado's going to make. And they basically, over the last 3 years, have the same numbers. And Bogaerts has two rings.
Yeah, is that you who sent me his numbers? Yeah, it is you.
I sent you those, yeah.
I appreciate that. That was really important.
Well, you don't like Xander. Do you want to tell everybody why you don't like Xander Bogaerts?
I didn't like the fact that he starts his name with an X. I just think it's very difficult for public address announcers. You start a name, you see a name start with an X, and you get really confused.
As we can tell you, with Giannis's name, you don't like any.
Yeah, I can say Giannis, I just can't say his last name.
What is it?
It's Greek Freak. all right, Ja Morant declared for the draft. Is he the consensus number two pick?
I think it depends how it shakes out. I think
it's depending on who has the number two pick.
Exactly. I think RJ Barrett is. I think he. Without Zion, could have been the consensus number one pick here. So I think he has a great chance to go in number two. It's going to depend on who gets that slot in the D's they need. But if you get number one, you don't take Zion, you're idiotic.
Yeah.
I'm going to give RJ Barrett the two seed.
Oh, all right. Number two pick?
Number two pick.
Okay. Yeah.
I don't know. I think, like you said, without Zion, I mean, he was putting up some good numbers, and he's a very solid player. I'll give him this two seed.
He was two.
But Morant certainly was the one player that helped us stock out the most during the tournament, for sure.
Yeah, RJ Barrett, coming into last year, he was the guy on the top of the draft board, then Zion, and then this guy, Ja Morant, wasn't even around. So good for Morant, good for Murray State. Jared's giving me a timer running out. All right, thank you guys for joining us. We'll be back next week here on Sports Talk with Connor Sutton. We'll be right back.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional.